Welcome to My Father's House Podcast, Episode 361, Healed by Love. Pastor Sarah Velasquez delivered this message on Sunday, March 10th, 2024, in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Have I ever told you this story? I'm going to start with just a funny, random story of the adventures of Sarah. This one time, when I lived in Argentina, I was a missionary with an organization called Youth with a Mission. And so I had been, I don't know when exactly this happened, I had been saved maybe 15 years. I don't know if that's right. But anyways, I was serving as a missionary, and I went, you know, we lived in a community house, and we were all encouraged to be a part of a different local body. And so one, I think it was a Sunday, maybe it was a Saturday night or something, we went with some of our friends that lived in the house. There was a married couple, and they said, why don't you come check out our church? Come to our church. So I went, and I was visiting this church with them for the first time, and there were a few of us there. And I don't know, but they have this thing, I heard this in several other churches, that they would greet people, and they would say, if you're here for the first time, like literally what they're saying in Spanish is, if you're here for the first time, raise your hand. And so I'm pretty literal. And so I raised my hand, not realizing that this is actually an altar call. And they were saying, like, if you're here for the first time, like to meet Jesus for the first time. So ushers come over, and my friends are like, no. And so they're trying to get me, and then they think that I'm being timid because I'm like, no. And when my friends are like, no, this is to receive Jesus. And so the usher's like, don't be shy. It's okay. We'll go up with you. And so I just went with it. In my opinion, not the best altar call if people are confused about what they're going up for. And, you know, here I'm a missionary serving Jesus and had been saved for how many years, and I find myself up in front, repeating the sinner's prayer with a couple other people. Praise the Lord. And so then they take me back to the room and, you know, want to give me material and connect me with the church. And I was like, well, you know, in my not so great Spanish, you know, I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm a missionary. I serve with YWAM. And it was just a funny thing. So then, you know, we got back to the house, and my friend said, hey, everybody, we have great news, great news. Everybody come around, you know, the director and all, you know, the people that we live with in the house and serve with. Sarah received Jesus tonight. Isn't that great? Isn't that so good? It was a fun. They're like, this stuff only happens to you, Sarah. They said for the first time, por la primera vez, it was my first time literally visiting that church. Like, if you're saying, if you've never met Jesus before, I mean, maybe they said that, but I didn't hear that. So next thing I knew, I was receiving Jesus. But it's good to receive him every day, right? It's over and over again. Praise the Lord. The day I received Jesus again. Praise God. Hallelujah. We can never receive him enough, right? We can keep opening our hearts to him every day. Hallelujah. All right. So, you know, in the month of March, we have declared, the Holy Spirit has declared healing meetings for us, healing services. So, are you ready to get your healing, to receive the manifestation of your healing? What Jesus paid for you on the cross? He did it. He did it for you. And so I titled this message, Healed by Love. I'm going to talk about the love of God. We should never tire of understanding and diving into and experiencing the love of God. The love of God. Let it not just be a cliche that, you know, oh yeah, Jesus loves me. Oh, Jesus loves you. Just like something we say, but that we really know. One of the Hebrew words for know in the Bible is to know like a husband knows a wife, like experience and like intimately to know, right? To really know that love of Jesus, not just mental assent that we know up here, but to know without a shadow of a doubt in my heart that I am loved by the Father, that each one of you is loved by the Father. And we should always be asking the Lord, the Holy Spirit, for a deeper revelation of his love. We can never, you know, until we reach his presence, really fully understand the depth and the height and the width and the breadth of his love for us. So let us keep asking that question to him every day, cada día. Is how you say it in Spanish, every day, cada día. This is going to be a little Spanish lesson, I guess, today. Cada día, every day, about the love of Jesus. God, show me today. What do I mean to you? How do you see me? We did this exercise many times in YWAM. I remember doing it here with the kids when we had some kids ministry way back, and we gave them Play-Doh, and we gave them sculpting clay, because I had done this many times, and you sit with the Holy Spirit and you ask the Holy Spirit to show you how the Father sees you. God, how do you see me? And then the assignment is to sculpt that in clay, like make out of it what, you know, what he says. You know, different people say, I'm a flower, I'm his sunshine, I'm his cup of tea, I'm, you know, whatever. One little boy one time said, a hot dog. I made a hot dog because I really love hot dogs and God loves hot dogs or something like that. He told me, I was like, okay, that's awesome. Like it was real to him. He had his little hot dog that he made and he was happy about it. Praise God. It doesn't matter. He makes us all unique, right? You could be a hot dog for God. You can be a shining star for him. You could be a beautiful blooming flower, but he sees you and he loves you and his heart is for you and he wants you to understand how much his heart is for you. So we're gonna jump in today and connect this message of love to healing, because you know we are spirit, soul, body. We are a whole being, right? And so when we really understand, when we begin to get this revelation in our hearts and when it comes alive of how much the Father loves me, then it changes everything. It's going to affect our body. It's going to affect our mind, our emotions, our will. All of those things are going to be affected when we understand that God sent his only son, Jesus, to die on the cross for me so that not only my sins could be forgiven and my, you know, my sins washed clean and I'm totally redeemed, but I'm also healed. He did that on the cross just as much as he forgave my sins. He healed my body. It was already done. And like we've been saying to each other from the Healing Masterclass, you can say, I'm his favorite. I'm his favorite. And when you really get that in your heart, I'm his favorite, your body is going to be affected because so much he says, you're my favorite that I went to the cross for you. So that you could be totally healed, that the blood of Jesus could wash away every sickness, disease, infirmity, lack, hallelujah, all of it. Some of us are going to get healed right now hearing, you know, this right now. I can feel that. Praise the Lord. It is happening right now. So just open up your heart. Let's just pray for a moment. Thank you, Jesus. We open our hearts wide to you. Oh, shiakarata hiataka soko babababariatata. We want all that you have for us. Father, we don't want to leave anything uncovered, anything on the table. Father, when we go to heaven, we want to experience all that you have for us right now, the love of God, the healing power, the deliverance, the freedom in our lives. You paid the price for all of that. And so we just tear open the windows of our heart, to the doors of our heart, the eyes of our heart. Let them be open to receive what you have. Holy Spirit, minister your love to each heart, to each spirit, to each life as I bring your word today. I thank you for it, for touching bodies right now. now in the name of Jesus for touching bodies, Father, because you're touching their hearts with your heart for them. Let your heart for them penetrate each life in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. You ready? Buckle up. Okay, we're going to look at the story of the woman who was bent over for 18 years in Luke 13. And we're going to see, we're going to take this apart, this story, really unpack it. We're going to see how she was transformed by the power of Jesus' love. It's a powerful story. And each time I read this last week, I just kept seeing new things and getting new things about it. It was like, wow, it just really became a prism in the Word of God. And just every time I looked at it in a different translation, it was like a different side of the prism was turned, and the light of God, the Holy Spirit hit it in a different way and just opened up something different to me. So praise the Lord. So Luke 13, we're going to read it in the Passion translation. It starts this account of this woman. The encounter that Jesus had with this woman starts in verse 10. So we're in Luke 13, verse 10 of the Passion Translation. It says, I'm going to read the whole thing and then we'll go back verse by verse and unpack it a bit more. Luke 13, verse 10, here we go. One Sabbath day, while Jesus was teaching in the synagogue, he encountered a seriously handicapped woman. She was crippled and had been doubled over for 18 years. Her condition was caused by a demonic spirit of bondage that had left her unable to stand up straight. When Jesus saw her condition, he called her to him and gently laid his hands on her. Then he said, "Dear woman, you are free. I release you forever from this crippling spirit." Instantly, she stood straight and tall and overflowed with glorious praise to God. The Jewish leader who was in charge of the synagogue was infuriated over Jesus' healing on the Sabbath day. 6 days you are to work, he shouted angrily to the crowd. On those days you should come here for healing, but not on the seventh day. The Lord replied, you hypocrites, don't you care for your animals on the Sabbath, untying your ox or donkey from the stall and leading it away to water? If you do this for your animals, what's wrong with allowing this beloved daughter of Abraham, who has been bound by Satan for 18 long years, to be untied and set free on a Sabbath day? When they heard this, his critics were completely humiliated, but the crowds shouted with joy over the glorious things Jesus was doing among them. Hallelujah! Praise the Lord. Okay. So it was Sabbath. It was the Sabbath day, a day of rest, right? Not much is supposed to happen that day. People go to the synagogue on that day. Jesus was there in the synagogue, and what was he doing? Teaching. Good job. 5 points. You're awake. It's not a hard question. He wasn't eating, right? He wasn't sleeping. He wasn't washing somebody's feet. He was teaching, right? In the synagogue on this day of rest. Jesus was teaching. So he was involved in an activity. He was doing something, right? Like much like I'm doing now. He was talking, his mind was working, and he was speaking to the people. But yet, while Jesus was busy doing something, his attention, his heart was drawn to her. He saw this woman, right? She was there, this woman, who was crippled, doubled over for 18 years. Now, I don't know exactly how, I mean, doubled over to me would be something like this. Can you see me? You know? What? It was like that. You've seen, Pastor Harley's seen people like this. I mean, I don't know this woman how severe it was, but I think it was pretty severe from what the scripture says. Can you imagine living your life like this? Like all the time. Like this. Walking, driving, pumping gas, eating, cooking, taking care of children, doing everything like this. I mean, my back's starting to get a little sore already, and it's been, what, 30 seconds, right? Walking around like this. And do you notice what where your vision is? It's different than if I'm up here, right? Oh, that feels good. I needed a break, right? You're down here. And so it's like your eyes just naturally, the position of your eyes just goes like down. Your vision, everything is changed. Everything is altered. Not the way that he designed it, right? He designed us to have a spinal column to hold us up straight. Wow. 18 years she was like this. 18 years. Seriously disabled, right? Can you imagine how much of her life was robbed? She couldn't run and play with her children. It doesn't really say how, you know, we don't have an idea of how old she was. But I imagine even if she was older, 18 years, I mean, maybe there was some child rearing years, you know, experience in there. Not being able to run, push her kids on the swings, you know, run and play and be with her children in that way, to experience life, to be free of pain. Do you know what it's like to, I don't, to live in chronic pain day after day? I mean, I've had pain, I've experienced pain, but not chronic, intense for 18 years. To be, have your whole life like put a damper on it, like held with a top on it, that you can only enjoy life however you can enjoy it, like this, the whole time. And you know, that didn't only affect her body like this. What else can you imagine begins to get affected? Somebody out there is pointing to their mind, right? Their mind. I'm different. You know, your self-image. Like, you look in the mirror and you see yourself like this. Nobody else is standing like that. I'm different. I'm less than. I'm a mess up. Like, I'm an error. I'm a mistake. Why am I like this? What's wrong with me? I stand out. I'm an outcast. Many things, I'm sure, were stolen, robbed from her. Her mobility, her peace, her joy, her freedom. Yet, on the day of rest, she could have just stayed home in bed, right? She was there at the synagogue seeking God. It doesn't say she was seeking a healing or went up to the healing line. She was just there. She was there to receive, I don't know, just seeking God, receive the word, to hear the word, right? And wow, she got a gift that day. She got a gift from the heart of the Father. We just take it for granted, don't we, that we can stand up straight and see like this. And like, I'm like everybody else, standing up straight. We take it for granted. Can't imagine that. 18 years, always incapacitated, always feeling limited. The humiliation, right? Wow. The lies. We talked about the mind being affected, but lies that get written on your heart because of how you look and because of what you could do and can't do, that you tell yourself that I'm a mistake, that I'm a curse, maybe. You know, that was probably spoken over her, I would imagine. I'm not worthy. Many, many lies, right? We can imagine. All right, so verse 12, this is Luke 13, right? Yes, Luke 13, verse 12. So Jesus was teaching. He was busy doing that, but his heart was drawn to her. It says, when Jesus saw her condition, that's just half of the phrase. We'll just stop right there because those five words, God began to talk to me. He knows. It says, when he saw her condition, he's well aware of the condition that you're in. He's well aware of the limitation that's been placed on you or that's hindering you, that's robbing from you, that's stealing from you in your body, in your heart. You know, maybe it's a heart wound. He's well aware that you're bound, because it says he saw her condition. He was busy teaching, but he saw her. I imagine he didn't just see her physically, but like his heart went to her, right? And I imagine, because it says later on, it says that she was bound by evil spirits, right? So I imagine he saw also her condition in the spirit realm. He saw the demons binding her. He saw the evil spirits behind the fact that she was bent over like this, right? You know, I noticed that word, the first word, when. It doesn't say if. It was when he saw her condition. So it's not if Jesus. I wonder if Jesus knows that I'm in so much pain. I wonder if he knows how long I've been waiting for this miracle, this breakthrough. I wonder if he even cares. I wonder if he even hears my prayers to receive healing. I wonder. This says when he saw her, when he sees your condition, not if. And let me guarantee, he sees your condition. He is Jehovah Roi, the one who sees you like he saw Hagar, right? He sees you. He sees his beloved children. He loves you so dearly, and he sees what's going on. He knows what's going on. Oh, the love of God for each one of his children. He sees you and he knows you. The compassion that Jesus carried is what called this woman to himself, what drew his attention. The compassion, what a carrier of the love and compassion of the Father Jesus was. He was the love and compassion of the Father embodied, right? In the Word made flesh. It was carried in the container of the body of Jesus, right? So his attention was drawn to her. When he sees your condition, he calls you to himself like he did that woman. Because it says, let's go back to verse 12. When Jesus saw her condition, he called her to him and then gently laid his hands on her. All right, let's talk about the calling. He doesn't want to leave you as you are, but he calls you forward. He calls you to spring forward like today. He calls you out of something, out of your crippled condition like this. Your pain, your suffering, the lies, the humiliation, the wrong thoughts, the lies. He calls you out of that and to himself, to his heart, to his love, to his compassion, because he wants to get all of that to you. He wants to get his person of love that he is to you. And so he calls you to himself. Come near. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you, it says, right? But he here is calling you. He's like he called that woman to leave behind the sickness, the illness, the bondage, the crippling, the limitations, the lies, the humiliation, all of it. Leave it behind. He wants you to know him in such a deep way, a deeper way than you know now. Amen. There's always an ocean. His love is an ocean, right? There's songs about that. That we would be drowning in his ocean, his sea of love. We can always go deeper. He always wants to take us deeper. He's reaching out his hand like he did to this woman, and calls you to himself. Come into a little bit deeper, a little bit deeper. You know when you're at the ocean and you start and you're just in the wet sand? I love that sand where it's wet, and like if you stand there for a few seconds, your heels and your feet just go like further in, right? I love that feeling. I like it. Can you just imagine that as I say that, right? And then you take a step further, and then the tops of your feet are covered in water, and then you take a step, and then you take a step. Like, he's calling to us today and saying, come deeper into my water, come deeper to experience my love, how much my heart burns for you, how much I hold in my heart for you, for each one. Oh, Holy Spirit, minister that to each life right now in the name of Jesus. And as we trust and we take a step, we go deeper, deeper into his love, deeper to know him as the healer, Jehovah Rapha, deeper to know him as the deliverer, deeper to know just that he thinks about you every day. That his heart like beats for you like this. That if God had a refrigerator, your picture would be up on it in the like big with a magnet on it, because that's how much he loves you. And your picture is on the forefront of his refrigerator, of his heart, of his mind. He thinks about you. He calls you forward to him, deeper to experience who he is, all of who he is. I only named, what did I say, the healer and the deliverer. All the persons of, you know, the characteristics of God embodied by his love for you. He calls you to come and experience the God of peace, the one who stilled the storm. He's calling you forward, out of something, to leave the old stuff, the sickness. Maybe you don't have pain or sickness or illness in your body. And maybe it's something else. Maybe it's a heart wound. Maybe it's, I don't know, something else, a breakthrough that you're believing for. And whatever it is, even if everything is good and you've experienced a lot of breakthroughs already in your life, he always wants to call us deeper to himself, to just say, come hang out with me. Come know, really know, really know in your heart, not know up here, know who I am. All right. Then he called her to himself. Then verse 13, he did two other things. First one, it says gently in the Passion Translation. He gently laid his hands on her. He touched her. It only takes one touch from Jesus, doesn't it? Only takes one touch from Jesus. It doesn't say he smacked her upside the head with the Bible and be healed. And Jesus, you know, it wasn't rough. It wasn't tough. It wasn't mud slinging. It wasn't like he did with the, you know. Yeah, it wasn't mud. He didn't spit. It was gentle with her. He knows each one of us. We're built so unique. We're created so uniquely by the Father that he knows the touch that we each need. And we all need a gentle touch sometimes, right? And it said he just gently touched her. He gently laid his hands on her. He's such a gentleman. He's not heavy-handed. To me, that gentle touch just radiates love, right? Like, I care about you, and I'm not going to hurt you. Because maybe a lot of us have, at one time or another in our life, we've received a heavy hand. We've received a smack on the face. We've received a smack on the bottom, beatings with a belt or a wooden spoon or, you know, whatever. But his touch is gentle, and his touch is healing. His touch, there's life, and there's love. And he says, I'm not going to hurt you. You can trust me. No matter how they've touched you in the past, how they've hurt you, how they've hit you, how they've beat you, I love on you. And I'm calling you out of the bondage, out of the old thing that's held you down, held you crippled, and I'm just going to touch those deep places in your heart, in your spirit, in your body, to untie all that, untie all that's bound up, right? So then he did something else. So it says first he laid hands on her gently, and then it says he spoke. What did he say to her? Dear woman, dear. In Spanish, it's querida. Mi querida, my dear one, my beloved one. Even just saying that word, right? Dear woman, you are free. What a declaration. You are free. All he had to do was touch her, and then he spoke. His word activated what the touch was already starting, right? It just the two things together, the touch and the spoken word. We know about God and the spoken word. He spoke in it, and the universe was created, right? In Genesis, he created with his words. Well, here, he created freedom for her. Deliverance, right? All that was bound up, those crippling spirits. He said, dear woman, you are free. I release you forever from this crippling spirit. Instantly, she received. She had to, you know, we know that that healing comes, her breakthrough comes when we believe, right? Through faith. We've been talking about that lately. Through faith, you are saved, right? Your faith. We don't see that here, but we know that that had to be an operation for her to receive, because immediately she stood up, right? Her body showed that evidence. She went from being bent over, crippled, 18 years to his touch and then his spoken word, you are free. Hallelujah. Somebody's getting excited over there. Instantly, she received that. She straightened up, and then what happened? What? She danced. Wouldn't you be dancing? I would be dancing and leaping and jumping. If for 18 years, how many days is that? 365 times 18. Lots of days. Somebody get their calculator out. Just imagine that. Number of days walking around like this. Your whole existence like this. 6,570. You are free. Woo! I'm going to dance. I'm going to jump. I'm going to spin. I'm going to bend down and stand back up again, because before I couldn't do that. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. She overflowed with glorious praise to God. When you receive a touch from God, or you receive hearing his voice, or both of those together, something's going to come out of your heart. Overflowing praise is going to come out. Like Sister Aaliyah said, when you spend time with the Father, it changes you. It transforms you. You receive from him and you are different. There is a new look on your face when you are set free. Yes. Hallelujah. You can be set free by a touch. You can be set free by his voice, by just his spirit touching you in a deep place where a person couldn't get to. We lay the hands and the Holy Spirit does the rest and goes deep, deep, deep. Deep calls unto deep. Praise the Lord. She got two. She got this double blessing of Jesus, his spoken word and his touch. And she received. He didn't require anything of her, did he? He didn't say, first you got to bend down and repent and kneel and say all your sins and repeat this prayer, or turn around and stand on your head and five times do this, and nothing. Nothing. There was no requirement, no demand placed on her. She was just there seeking God. Let that sink in. Wow. We have such a performance mentality sometimes. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for rescuing me out of this performance mentality that I have to earn it. I have to do it. I've got to do this. I've got to pray more. I've got to go to church more. I've got to serve him more. I got to just go, 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 do, do, do. And I'm like this. Even if I'm physically, you can't see that I'm like this. I'm like this because I'm crippled, thinking that I have to earn his love. I got to go over here and do this, and I got to do this, and I got to say nice words, and I got to do this, and I got to earn it. I got to earn his love. And he didn't require a dang thing from her. A darn thing. He didn't require anything of her. Nothing. I didn't swear. I said, dang. Okay. Just getting fired up. Because we think we have to earn it. Even we know the verses. We know that it's through grace or by faith through grace. I always mess that up. Why do I always mess that up? So, by grace through faith. It's like a tongue twister for me every time. By grace through faith. So it's not a works. It's not works so that no man can boast, right? But we still think that it is. We really need to get that. He's not requiring anything of you. You don't have to strive to get your healing. Sarah, preaching to myself. You don't have to strive to get it. You don't have to figure out what did I do and what this and that and oh and why God and blah, blah, blah. We just need to receive it. We just need to stop all that and just receive his gentle touch and receive his voice saying, you are free. You are free because I love you. His love is so great. His love is so powerful. All right, then what happened? Ooh, can you imagine that? This is Sabbath, remember. Some religious panties are getting up in a twist here because the Jewish leaders, some religious demons started squirming when this happened, right? You can't do that. It's the Sabbath day. You can do that on the sixth day, whatever he said, right? He was infuriated about Jesus healing this woman. 6 days you are to work. There it is. He shouted angrily to the crowd. On those days you should come here for healing, but not on the seventh day. Take your religious rules and stuff it. Jesus said. He didn't say that, but he did that when he just touched her gently. Like he just didn't care about them. Right? Praise the Lord for Jesus and his freedom that he gives us. We don't have to follow rules. We're not bound up by rules. We can be freed by his love, by how much he loves us. It sets us free when we understand that. Those religious spirits get in such a fuss when the rules are broken, right? Jesus' teaching was not in theory. It wasn't just him up at the podium, nah, 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 and not just about the law, but he lived out what he spoke. He lived out teaching by showing truth, by demonstrating love like no one had ever experienced in a time where the law was the law and the highest thing, right? It was a revolution. Jesus's love, Jesus's freedom, and the way that he taught people, and the way that he freed people, and the way he touched people. He called, somewhere in scripture, Jesus called the religious leaders the whitewashed tombs, like just appearances on the outside, but empty on the inside. A tomb, an empty, dead place. Full of deceit, full of wickedness, full of, you shouldn't do that, you know, criticism and judgment, turning their noses up because somebody broke the rule, right? But the compassion of Jesus could only produce life and healing in lives. That's what Jesus does. That's what Jesus' love does. It produces freedom from that. Letting go of that bondage of, I've got to follow the rules, right? And so he wasn't going to let that go. He called that out, didn't he? Verse 15, it says he called out their hypocrisy. Jesus despises hypocrisy because they pretend to be so righteous and for the law, but like we said, whitewashed tombs, their hearts were empty and their hearts were far from him, it says in another scripture. All talk and no action, no love, no depth to it. It was all just about dotting the I's and crossing the T's. Make sure you're in line with the law, right? Oh, that, Jesus didn't like that. Jesus didn't like that at all, right? He said, you care enough about your ox or your donkey that you untie that animal when it's bound up on the Sabbath day and you lead it to water and you give it something to drink. But this woman, a woman, a life, a creation of God, who's been bound for 18 years, crippled, you're going to untie and care enough about your ox or your donkey that you untie it, take the bondage off so it could have a drink. But this woman, just because of your rules and your religious stuffiness, you're going to have her keep staying, oh, just one more day, just sleep with the frogs one more day, just stay bound up by those horrible, terrible, miserable demons one more day and stay like this. No, Jesus, no, 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 no. He wasn't having that. I love you too much. My beloved daughter, my beloved son, I love you too much. My love already did it. Now we're getting ahead of the story. I'm getting ahead of my notes. Anyways, verse 16. How much more should you desire that a beloved child of God who's been bound by Satan for 18 years be set free on the Sabbath if you care enough about your ox and your donkey to do that for them? This is a human life, right? He couldn't stand the hypocrisy. He couldn't stand it. He said to them, like, you know, in that word hypocrites, you pretend to love God. You pretend to be all righteous and high and mighty, holy, but you put the laws above people. Let us not put the laws, the rules, the clock, the whatever above people. Let's let the love of Jesus, the compassion of Jesus touch us in such a way that it just flows out of us, that we have to treat others with that same love and compassion of Jesus that just, I don't have the words, that just overflows to set them free, just like he did for us, like he is wanting to do for us. What about the love of God for his children, for this bound woman? What about the love of God? Yeah. So then verse 17, his critics were completely humiliated. Well, they should be, right? You whitewashed tombs. Jesus called them out of their hypocrisy. But they didn't really come out like the woman came out. Isn't that interesting? I'm just seeing that now. He called the woman out, like we talked about. He called her forward. He called her out of the bondage and stuff. He was maybe trying to call them out of the hypocrisy, but they just wanted to stay there because their hearts weren't open like hers was. She went to really seek God. They just go to the show themselves high and mighty, right? She went to the synagogue seeking him with an open heart, and that's how you receive. Seeking God with an open heart, because those who seek will find. Those who ask, it will be spoken to them. How does it say? Given. And those who, I did it out of order, so I messed myself up. And those who knock, the door will be opened. Praise the Lord. Have your heart open and you won't miss what God wants to do. You won't miss it. Unlike these hypocrites, Pharisees, right? The crowds of people shouted for joy over the glorious things that were happening. They saw this woman. They had known her for sure, right? They'd gone to synagogue with her for how long? This woman bent over like this. The place erupted with glorious praise, thanksgiving, thankfulness. Praise the Lord! Like Jesus, like, can you imagine the relief? Can you imagine being out there in the synagogue and this woman, you know, probably a friend, a neighbor person, you know, in the community, get set free, and they're like relieved, like, oh, there's something different than these whitewashed tombs. We're not just stuck with them all day. Thank you, Jesus. And there's hope for me then too, you know, to get loose from my bondage. There's hope for me. We don't have to be with these stuffy guys that just, you know, always acting perfect. And like, I can be real. And Jesus is going to touch me in my place of need, and he's going to set me free because he loves me. They saw that. The people saw that. That was transmitted when he touched her. And they probably heard, they saw and heard him speak to her. And the place erupted with joy for the glorious things that were happening. Faith began to arise, I believe, in that place. That I can receive it too. When we don't harden our hearts to religion, when we rejoice in what God is doing around us and God's love expressed to somebody around us, then we will also be able to receive healing if our heart is open, like we said. Receive healing, receive freedom, receive that love, that affirmation of the Father that you so desperately need. All of us need that. All of us need that acceptance. That blessing that he says, I'm not mad at you. God, the Father, says, I'm not mad at you. When I look at you, I see Jesus. And I love you. That's what Jesus did for you on the cross because of love. So let's talk about this then in the context of us today, because this was Jesus' encounter with this woman before he went to the cross. Now, on the other side of the cross, now we have the resurrected Jesus. That one touch that can change everything is us just receiving it by faith. Not striving, not doing, not working ourselves into it, but just resting in the finished work of the cross, which is his love. Just resting in his love. I see like a big swimming pool and a diving board and some of you guys on the edge of the diving board and Holy Spirit says, I dare you. And you just fall in. Some of you, I saw somebody backwards, like on their back. Some are forward and you just fall right into his love. Swim around in there. It's gravity. You don't have to do much. Let gravity do the work. Let the cross. The work of the cross was already done, just like the law of gravity is in place and you can't change that. Let the finished work of the cross just fall into it. Just rest in it. Swim around in it. Get that in your heart. Get it in your heart. Spend time with him like Sister Aaliyah so beautifully exhorted us so that you can just, when you're spending time with him, You're swimming around in it. If you need a touch of his love, tell him, I need your love today. You are love. If you need peace one day, Prince of Peace, I need you to show up to me right here, right now in my secret place. If you need questions answered, he says, ask and you will be given, right? It'll be given to you. Ask for anyone who seeks and asks for wisdom, it will be generously given. He's going to give you those answers. Whatever you need from him, ask him. He'll manifest that to you. You need a touch of his joy. You need an overdose of his joy. Say, let your joy hit me. You are joy. You are joyful. Show up to me, my joyful king. Manifest to me whatever you are needing of him. Ask him. He wants you healed just as much as he healed you, or as he forgave your sins. Because we know the word sozo is the complete, it's the word for salvation. It's the complete package of salvation. It's forgiveness of sins and healing of your body, physical body, also your heart, emotional healing. But they're not separate. And somehow we've complicated things and we've separated. I was never taught that it should be like, we should have a phrase just as much as we say, Jesus loves you, Jesus heals you. That should be just as, because they're together. They're together. Jesus loves you. Jesus has saved you. Salvation is sozo. It's the full total package. Just as much as he wants you to resist sin, resist sickness and tell it to go, because I am loved by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he sent his son, Jesus, to die for me because he loves me that much. I need a revelation of your love, God. I need you to give me another revelation every day of your love, of how much you love me. And do you know he wants to give that to you? He wants to just pour that on to each one, how much he loves you. He loves you so much that he poured out his blood for you. You're worth the blood of Jesus. He was beaten and persecuted and ridiculed and flogged and pierced and all the things because he loves you so much. You're worth that. You're worth that beating of Jesus' body, whipped and bruised and broken. You're worth the blood of Jesus. Your worth doesn't come from having it all together and having your I's dotted and your T's crossed and measuring up and earning his love. You can never do anything else to make him love you more than he already loves you right now. He loves you so much. And he just wants you to get that. I know I'm driving it home and I'm being a little repetitive, but we can never get this too much. Keep driving, okay? Keep driving. Praise the Lord. We just have to receive it by faith in our spirit that we are loved. He didn't require anything of her, and he doesn't require anything of you to receive your healing. And when we get that revelation, we're healed. I mean, we're already healed. We are healed even before we see it healed. I am healed. Praise the Lord. And I'm a mother of many children. Praise the Lord. Before I see it manifested with my physical eyes, I know it because he said it in his word, and he loves me so much. And he poured out his life for me to give me the best because I'm his favorite. And I can walk taller and higher, not because I measured up, not because I performed well, but because I know that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and the one who put the stars into place calls me by name, and he knows me. I want to share this story, this little testimony, just brief flash in my life several years ago when I was living with my sister's family over here in Stone Canyon Development. And my sister has twins. She has four children, but she has a set of twins, and I was their Tia nanny, and helped take care of them. And I was going into the bedroom to get one of the twins up from a nap, and he was waking up from his nap. He was older than one, younger than two. I'm not sure exactly, maybe like 15 months or something, just cutie, blonde Noah. And he had been sleeping in a pack and play. We had to separate the twins at nap time because twins love to talk twin talk and shenanigans, and they would never go to sleep. And there's not enough time in a nap to like recover from them carrying on in the twin shenanigans for an hour, so we would separate them. So he was in the older brother's bedroom in a pack and play. And so I go in there and I open the door, and he hears the door open, and he was kind of like waking up, and he stands up real fast, and he's in his cute little sleep sack, and his hair's all every which way, and his cheeks are all rosy, and he had the meshing of the pack and play matted down on his cheek like this. And he looked at me and he just smiled, and my heart, I looked at him and I was like, I love you so much. I love you so much. And the father just like flashed so fast, said, and I love you like that so much more than even that. When you're all a mess and you're all disheveled and your hair is like this and you're feeling like a failure and you feel like you can't measure up, that's how much I love you. I look at you and I just go, I love you. When you have spit on your face and snot and you feel like you're just not put together and a hot mess, like people say, God says, no, you're not a hot mess. You're my beloved child, and I love you so much. So much. And you don't have to do a dang thing. I'm going to say it again. Because it puts emphasis, because he wants you to know that. You don't have to do a darn thing. He loves you so much. He loves us. He loves his children. Thank you, Jesus, for your awesome love. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And he wants to sing a lullaby over you today. I keep seeing myself like a mother rocking her babies. And so this is the heart of the Father for you.
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.